You can take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs, to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to begin our scripture reading at verse 10 and read through the 31st verse of Proverbs chapter 31. Let's begin at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark, and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of the earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. There ends the reading of God's holy word. Now I know that half of the congregation isn't even listening to me this morning. After all, it's a Mother's Day sermon, and half of you, I don't think, at least half of you, are mothers. Unless that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger is true. Maybe, perhaps it is true that maybe there are some men who become mothers along the way. Well, I don't want you to tune me out if you're not a mother or if you're not a lady. This message is for each and every one of you to hear and listen to. Yes, this passage of Scripture focuses on what it is to be a wife and a mother, but it can be applied more broadly than that to women who are single, women who are widowed, those who do not have children can hear the message. Young ladies can hear it, and young girls can hear it. This is the message that you're called to, and something to think about, and something to hold dear. We're limited in our time this morning, so I can't bring out all the implications and all the applications along the way from this passage, but it's good for you to hear, to do the application yourself as you go home. Children and men, this passage tells you how you are to treat a woman who fears the Lord, who loves the Lord, how you are to praise her. Young men, this is something for you to hear. What do you go after when you look for a potential spouse? The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about what you look for and what you avoid along in the relationships with the opposite sex. Now that everybody's listening, let's move on. Now you're all ready to hear what is said in this passage. This passage comes to the pinnacle in the book of Proverbs. It's as if everything that was said in the book of Proverbs is leading up to this point. I think it has a dual purpose as everything leads up to this final chapter. Because really, this woman is a personification of the most important principle of Proverbs. And that is what wisdom is and what wisdom looks like. This is wisdom personified for you in a lady, and shows you what her daily life is like. But the second purpose of this section of the book of Proverbs is to get us an interesting highlight on what a godly wife looks like, what a godly woman looks like. It's sort of a description of it from A to Z. Perhaps you've been to one of those rental places called A to Z Rental. and you have rented something for the backyard. Maybe it is a post hole digger to do your fence, or perhaps it's something for inside, some tables that you rented for a party along the way. Well, this is an A to Z description of the woman. Each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it moves from A to Z, basically. 22 letters, 22 verses for this lady to describe her. Now, as you look at this passage, you probably are saying, this is the most hated woman in all the Bible. You know, every time you hear a Mother's Day sermon, it's about this lady. And every time you go away from the Mother's Day sermon, you're thinking, oh, where I've fallen short. Oh, I can't be like this woman. After all, she had servant girls. I don't have servant girls. Wouldn't that be nice? And my husband's expectations could be more in line if I had a set of servant girls to do this along the way. Well, hear yet what has to say here in Proverbs. It sets high aims for us, but the goal is not perfection. Not perfection this side of glory, but approximation to imitate this lady, to be like her. We want to look at her from six different angles. And first of all, we want to look at this wife of noble character and her inestimable value, inestimable value. This is like finding a rare jewel here, to find a lady like this. The book of Proverbs and other places says that a wife that is a noble character is a gift from the Lord. In Proverbs 19:14, we're told this, that houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That she is of great value. She's worth more than rubies, it says in that 10th verse. That her worth is far greater than the most precious of jewels on the market. That there is no treasure that can compare to a lady like this. In fact, Martin Luther said this, the greatest gift of God is a pious and amiable spouse who fears God, loves his house, and with whom a man can live in perfect confidence. Yes, it is this lady who is held high as a jewel among jewels, and her value is seen because she fears the Lord, and she's different than the world. And it's good for us to hear this about Christian ladies, that they're upheld this way, and they're said to be worth more than rubies, because our culture downplays and comes against that of Christian womanhood. It says that the goals in life should be self-absorption, that the goals in life should be your own self-satisfaction, that the way to go is not to expend your energies in serving the Lord and serving others, but it's to do your own thing, to call your own shots, to be your own woman along the way, to live independently of those who are around you. But the book of Proverbs says, no. The woman who loves the Lord and the woman who fears the Lord and her family is a woman who is to be praised along the way. Yes, she is worth more than rubies, far more than rubies. Young men need to hear this, or a little older men, because the temptation in our society is to be satisfied with only the externals along the way. It's like rather than wanting the jewels of rubies, going to those gumball machines. You've been there before, and you place two quarters in, and you see as you spin it around what comes out the chute. And maybe you've looked at the prizes there, and what comes out eventually is a plastic ring, one of those beautiful rings that comes out of the gumball machine. And here you have it, something that you want to display to everybody, this beautiful ring that you've gotten from the gumball machine. And so often as men, we can look at the things that really don't matter in comparison to the things that are really important. We can look at just the externals and the winsomeness rather than looking for someone of noble character, of Christian character. The main concerns become along the way, is she pretty? The main concerns become, what kind of body does she have? The main concerns become, is she winsome? The main concerns become, does she have charm? And we're told in this passage that charm is deceitful and that beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be ever praised. We sometimes find ourselves getting off the track rather than having the central concern. Is this a woman who fears the Lord? And in the way she operates, it's seen in the way she lives. And so as young men, as men, we need to have the right values and realize this sort of woman is to be praised. She is worth far more than rubies. But she's seen to be worth far more than rubies because of her trustworthiness, too. If you'll notice verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And then it goes on to describe some of the things. That here is a woman who is worthy of trust, that his interests are kept safe in her keeping, that he has no misgivings, that her daily work makes her more even worthy of this praise that she deserves there. That here is a woman that he can entrust his name and his honor, his home, and his children with. And her faithfulness and reliability cause this husband to have full confidence in her because she is the type of one woman who will do him good all the days of her life, as verse 12 tells us, that she's a good helpmeet along the way. That she has his horizons and God's horizons and her family's horizons in mind. And the aim for Christian womanhood, a woman of noble character, is to do good for the Lord and do good to those around her. And this sort of woman is worth far more than rubies. And so she is a wife of noble character and her inestimable value. But she's a wife of noble character, and she has vigorous industry. You see her vigorous industry. Now, this is where it gets you ladies worked up. Yes, her vigorous industry, this lady tires you out just reading it. And then your husband goes home and he begins to read this and says, in Proverbs 31, woman, she was up late at night, her lamp didn't go out, and she was up before the sun came up. Are you a Proverbs 31 woman? Are you really a Proverbs 31 woman? Well, she does have vigorous industry. She works hard. But it's interesting, sometimes we have the picture of a godly woman as a godly woman who is there studying her Bible. And she's so godly that she's learned the original Greek and Hebrew. And she goes there and she learns the original Greek and Hebrew and she parses all the verbs. Oh, yes, this is a second person indicative. And she goes on about the Hebrew verbs and that. But here is a woman who shows her godliness in day-to-day life and the way she invests herself in life and in her family there. A description of her work is given in verse 13. It talks about how she works with eager hands. In verse 15, it says she gets up while it still is dark. And then it goes on. In verse 17, it says she works vigorously. And then verse 18, it says her lamp does not go out at night. And so you begin to look at verse 15 and 17 together. She's up before it's light, while it's still dark, and her lamp doesn't go out at night. Oh, this lady. I hate this lady. I hate her. This morning, the alarm clock rang off, and what did I do? I went over and hit the snooze button. And then I thought, oh, it's Mother's Day. And, oh no, that Proverbs 31 woman. I've got to be that Proverbs 31 woman. I've got to get up while it's still dark. Oh, this lady just tires me out thinking about her. I think the details are not really what the passage is after. Your husband might try to press the details, but see if he wants to get up at 5 in the morning as well to join you. But here is the details that paint the picture that this is a woman who works hard. The opposite of the sluggard in the book of Proverbs. Verse 27 gives that idea. As it says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. That this is an active and engaged woman doing her work for the Lord. And her work, her meal, her food is not to be idle, but to do these things for her family. And for the Lord. She wears a multiplicity of hats along the way. and you begin to get tired and you begin to say, I don't have all the gifts. She's a clothes designer in this passage. She's an interior decorator. She's a gardener. She's a sweetheart. She's a mother. She dabbles in real estate. She makes things and sells them. And you say, oh my, what a woman. Oh, I can't be that. Well, she is, in a sense, the perfect woman presented before you of what the goal is, what this perfect package of wisdom is. Not everyone's going to have the gifts. Not everyone's going to have the talents there. But they're going to use the things that God has given them vigorously for the good of their family and for the good of the Lord. Those various activities are going to be managed in a way with vigorous industry. But we see this wife of noble character has inestimable value, has a vigorous industry. She has a giving spirit. Notice verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Here is a woman who not only is concerned about her family, but her society. And they're concerned to those who are less well off. She's one who engages with them. She buys and sells real estate, we find in the passage. She deals in the market with her goods, buying and selling them. But she doesn't use her advantages and her opportunities as a means of self-indulgence, ultimately. Yes, she will buy and bring good things for her family, but it's not with an eye that is not turned to the poor, but rather she uses her advantages to look at those less fortunate around, not only to prepare for the future, but for those who have true needs, she reaches out to them. So often in our middle-class society, it is easy to forget the poor around us. We look around us and we say, well, who could be not well off? Well, it must be a problem with them. Most definitely, if they're poor, it's directly related to them. And here we find, no, there are legitimate needs and people who are poor. And this sort of woman is one who lives out the book of Proverbs, who looks around for needs, and she has some cash on the side. And she meets those needs along the way because her heart is really a giving heart. It's seen in how her heart is towards her family. Her work is there with her family's well-being in mind. She's no mere housekeeper along the way, but she is a servant. And we think of the word servant, and our ideas of servant are the ideas of slave, and we cringe at the ideas. How could anybody be a servant? How could that be a good position? That's demeaning. That's insulting. That's insignificant to be a servant. Charles Sell, in one of his books, said our roles as executive secretary, as salesman of the year, and union carpenter eclipse the role of husband and wife. We resent the demands of spouse and children because they interfere with our greater glory. That investing in one's children is important, Sell is getting after. That it is the greatest of responsibilities that we have. And to be a servant is really a wonderful place because it is to be the place where God has designed us for. What God has made us. He has made us to be part of His theater and His play there. And the part we have to play is that of a servant. But our society says service is no good. How can you be a servant to others? You must serve yourself, and that's the name of the game today. But the picture of service in the Scripture is one that's not demeaning, but is our calling as men and women of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. And He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised to life." That right at the heart of what it means to react to the cross of Jesus Christ as those who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, right at the heart of that, it means to be servants. no longer living for themselves, but living for Christ ultimately. And you remember Jesus in that upper room as He washed the disciples' feet. It says this in John's Gospel. When He finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you not understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you wash one another's feet. You will be blessed if you serve one another for the sake of Christ." What higher position could we be given than that of service? Remember when James and John were struggling along the way, they sent their mother as their messenger. "Mom, find out if we can get the top seats in the kingdom." And of course, she was concerned about her boys having a good job with tenure along the way. And she comes to Jesus and He says, "When you come into your kingdom, how about if one of my sons sits at the right hand and one of the left? One vice president and the other secretary of state when you come into your kingdom. What about it, Jesus? Please, these boys are two out of the three of your closest disciples. Give them two out of the three of the top seats in the kingdom. How about it, Jesus?" And He says, "Whoever wants to be great among you must become your servant. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give a life, His life a ransom for many." And so service is really the highest of positions. And we will find that someday that those who serve the greatest will have the greatest of rewards. Those who are greatest in the kingdom are those who've been the servants of all. And this lady has a giving spirit along the way. Well, then we see not only is she a doer, but she's a talker too. A talker in a good sense. Notice her important instruction, verse 26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The idea of wisdom is there. The idea of faithful instruction is the word hesed, which is a Hebrew word which has the idea of covenant faithfulness, or the King James Version often translates it steadfast love. And so this woman is one instructing those around her in the fear of the Lord, in the reverence of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Here is a woman who opens her mouth with wisdom, pointing people to the Lord and how to serve Him. She is a woman of great influence in her family. There was a doctor by the name of Olthert that said, "It is not true that the public school is the strongest single influence in the character education, or that radio, television, movies, and the comics mold the minds of children more than anything else. Family associations still play the dominant role. Consider the issue from the standpoint of time. In terms of a creative religious work, a child is in church about 52 hours annually. He spends 40 hours a week at school, 9 months out of the year. But he is in the home more than 60 hours a week. The emotional leverage there is also greater. Loyalties and affections kindled in that atmosphere provide a drive and instill a sense of authority found nowhere else. The life situation, which is the best setting for education, is natural in the home. Therefore, it comes first in the formation of character and ideals." Here she's given the wonderful opportunity to mold and shape the next generation. That there's children to be nurtured. There's children to be trained and developed and educated. There's a soul to be dealt with for time and eternity. And a woman has a great influence in the home. Sometimes we exalt the men as the great influential figures. But it was interesting when I was a seminary student and I talked with two of my professors that I got closest with. they said to me that the greatest influence on their Christian life and character was undoubtedly their mother. They had had mothers who gave that important instruction in the way of the Lord. And what an opportunity to mold and shape the next generation to follow and walk in the ways of the Lord. And so she has important instruction. But why does this woman do all this? What's the reason for it? What's her motivation? Sometimes her work is unappreciated. What keeps her going in this setting? Wouldn't it be crazy to labor like this, to do all these things, unless you had the right motivation? Well, notice the key to it all is given in verse 30. This is a key verse out of all the verses. You can circle it in your Bible. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Here her husband is praising her, and the key that he sees in her life is this, is that she fears the Lord. That is what drives this woman on to do the things that she does and to be the sort of person that she is. It is this mixture of reverence and fear, of awe and love, of joy and appreciation for who God is and for what He's done for us. It is that reverential sort of love that a child has towards a parent. Now, this love is towards God. And this is what she fears more than anything else. She loves more than anything else. Is she loves the Lord and she has a healthy reverence for Him. And that's what motivates her actions along the way. And it will be the only audience that helps her to hang in there. Because so often the work of ladies is unappreciated, whether in the marketplace or whether in the home. Often she is looked down upon. Others will disappoint you. Others will take advantage of you. Others will not appreciate you. Others will make you feel in bondage. But it is here, this is what is freeing. This is what is enlivening, is this fear of God that she wants to obey the Lord and honor Him above all things. So often in life, it is the little things, the mundane, that we think is unimportant. But we think the things with all the glitter and gloss, all the glamour, are the important things. But here it's just a steady Christian character that's important and that's highlighted here. And it is that fear of the Lord that drives that Christian character. Even in the menial tasks that are sometimes done by us as Christians, it is the sense of whether we are slave or free, whether we are male or female, that what we do to honor the Lord, and we want to do it as unto the Lord. There was a man named Sir Michael Costa who was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra was joined by a mass chorus. About halfway through the session, with all the instruments playing, all of a sudden the piccolo player decided that wasn't doing any good, so he wasn't going to play. So he stopped playing, but he put the instrument up to his lips, and he felt nobody can hear a difference anyhow. After a little bit, the conductor said, "Stop! Stop! Where's the piccolo? Where's the piccolo?" He didn't realize, the piccolo player, that the most important person could make it out, could understand that they weren't doing what they should be doing. And her outlook and her perspective and her foundation, this woman is in the fear of the Lord, that her fidelity to her husband, her active personal habits, her good management, her diligence with her family, her consideration for the needs of others, the necessities of others, her watchfulness, her other things, all boils down to this. I want to please the Lord. And how can I please the Lord? And this is how I can do it, is just to be a solid Christian woman doing the things that the Lord would have me do. That is her God-fearing motivation. But this noble woman has her reward of praise. Notice the praise that comes. If you come in the later verses, verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. And then her husband speaks, and that's recorded here, as it says in verse 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Those who are touched by her life and touched by her character are called to see her valuable contributions and give to this lady praise. We whose sustenance and comfort and reputation and knowledge of God have been impacted by ladies like this should see her as a precious jewel and should praise her with these words, not only on Mother's Day, but throughout the year. Many women are this way, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be ever praised. Yes, these women deserve praise. At times in the church, we have sought to properly understand the roles of men and women. But at times in the church, when we've sought to properly understand the roles of men and women, we have degraded women along the way. And it's important that we as Christians would exalt Christian womanhood and praise them for what they did. And it is this woman who may not always get the praise that she deserves, but this woman who will get the praise from God in that ultimate day, when the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord," Matthew 25. Yes, this woman deserves praise. Give her the reward that she has earned. Give your wife the reward she has earned. And let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Here's a woman that they're talking about at the city gate, where all the commerce goes on, where the courtroom is, where the judgments are, where the coffee shop is in ancient Israel. Here's that place at the city gate, and they're saying, she's quite a woman. They're gossiping about her. Isn't that a godly woman? Isn't that a fine lady who serves and loves the Lord? And doesn't she deserve our praise? In the church, not at the city gate today, we need to praise Christian women. We thank you for who you are. We thank God for who you are. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the use of your manifold gifts. We give you praise, but more so, God will give you praise on that final day for all that you've done for us. Many voices are calling out in our society what women are to be and do. Sometimes they're right, but most often they're wrong. And what we are to aim for in it all is very simple, solid Christian character that fears the Lord and shows it in the way we live in our daily life. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 9 and 10, in the context of which widows should be supported officially by the church, there's given a test or a series of tests what sort of women are to be supported and put on the church dole. And 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10 says, it is a woman who has a reputation for being faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up her children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those troubled, and devotes herself to all kinds of good deeds. That's a woman who's to be supported. When the day is all said and done, when we come to our end of our life, what will really be important, whether we're men or women, will be this. Have we been faithful to our spouse? Are we well known for our good deeds, such as bringing up our children? Have we showed hospitality? Have we washed the feet of the saints? Have we helped those in trouble? And have we devoted ourselves to good deeds? If that's what we've done in the final day, that will be praiseworthy in the sight of God. Ladies, please hear it this morning. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We give her the reward that she has earned, and her works praise her at the city gates and in the church of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage today. Lord, we thank You for the direction that You've given to us. Oh Lord, we pray for where we've fallen short, that we would come again and bring that to You. And Lord, that we would experience Your cleansing power. And Father, for where we find ourselves needing strength, that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would give us strength to do the things that honor You. Oh Lord, there's many voices out there calling us to all sorts of things as Christians. And some of those are good, Lord, but some of those are bad. Help us to be those who, in the final day, hear "well done, good and faithful servant," and are into the joy of Your Lord. Thank You for Your grace in Jesus. Thank You for Your forgiveness in Him. Now mold and shape us and give us a heart of praise for those who have done things that are worthy of praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.